Welcome to Dark Box Archive. I am Andrew.
I'm Ty.
And I'm Josh.
And we are your hosts. Today, we're going to delve into the critical topic of incident response and cybersecurity.
Incident response is all about preparing for and reacting to security breaches or cyber attacks in an efficient and effective manner.
We'll discuss incident response, why it's important, the key steps involved, best practices, and to ensure your organization is ready to handle any cyber incident. We'll even give you some real-world examples.
Okay, guys, so what exactly is incident response?
Incident response is a structured approach to handling and managing the aftermath of a security breach or cyber attack. The goal is to handle the situation in a way that limits damage and reduces recovery time and costs.
It involves identifying, investigating, and responding to incidents, as well as learning from the incidents to prevent future occurrences.
Okay. So why is incident response so important for businesses and individuals these days?
Without proper incident response plans, organizations are often unprepared for cyber attacks, which would lead to greater damage, longer recovery times.
An effective incident response can minimize your impact from the attack, protect your sensitive data, i.e. your client's data, and preserve your organization's reputation.
Okay, so basically it ensures that there's a clear predefined process in place, which is helping businesses avoid the panic and confusion during an incident. So that is good. So regarding the key steps in an incident response, let's talk about what those specific key responses are. And in an incident response process, it's typically broken down into six specific phases. Preparation, identification, containment, eradication, recovery, and lessons learned. So let's start with the first phase, guys, preparation. Preparation is, you know, obviously the first and I would say is arguably the most important phase.
Yeah, this phase would involve developing and implementing an incident response plan, training your team, and ensuring you have the right tools and resources in place.
You need to do regular drills and simulations, other words called tabletop exercises, where you have somebody that leads your team through a scenario of what has happened. So, like, a good example is your CISO would say, okay, we just had a ransomware attack, and this is, you know, they've said, okay, we had a ransomware attack come in through this computer, and this has, it started spreading here. Just kind of like, okay, IT director, what happens next? What do you do? Or PR director, what do you do? How do you handle that situation? In the military, it's called war gaming. In IT and everything, you call it a tabletop exercise. It's basically just playing out a scenario and saying, okay, this happens, then I do this. And just kind of walk through the process and it gives you a chance to say, okay, our incident response plan needs to be change to do this and do this. We're not doing this right. We don't have this covered in the plan. It's a way to practice and adjust your plans so that when the real world incident happens, you've already worked out those knots.
Okay. So basically, it really needs the buy-in of the executive team on down for proper preparation.
Oh, yeah. You should be doing a tabletop exercise at minimum every 6 months. And it should start with your executive team doing one, and then your, honestly, the way, let's say I ran it for your company. You start with the executive team, and you take that exact same scenario, and you break it down into each department. So your IT team, how do y'all respond to this? You know, just kind of lead them through the exact same exercise and break it down into your PR team, your HR team, you know, break it down through the company.
Okay, so the first phase is preparation, which we just discussed. Now let's talk about the second phase, which is identification.
This would involve detecting and identifying potential security incidents. This could be through monitoring tools, alerts, or reports from other users.
All right. This is going to set me off on a high horse of gathering information is so important in identification. You have to make notes, document what is happening. And this goes into your very frontline employees that are experienced in the incident. They need to document what is happening. Because documentation is so important. It affects every other step of incident response. Every other key phase of it is affected by that documentation. Whether it's containing the threat, whether it's eradicating it, and all the way into recovery, and into your lessons learned. Because if you don't have that documentation, it's going to affect everything. So your employees need to understand that, hey, I just got this email come in, or I just clicked on something and now ransomware is being installed. We need the documentation of, hey, this is what just happened, and you need to how to report it. The very first phase is very frontline employee.
Right, and I think it's important to also point out, this is really the step where incident response team, like from us at Darkbox Security Team, would be notified immediately versus later on.
Yes, and real world example, received a ransomware call, and this is where the company did not do any documentation of anything. They did everything up to eradication or up to recovery, and then they called in us for the recovery phase. So they didn't document anything. So whatever they did, containment of the incident, which is really important, and then they eradicated the threat, but then we went into recovery, and they contacted us, so I start going through systems. I'm like, okay, so how did everything happen? Well, I get a general.
So Josh, let's hold off on that and we can we can discuss that later on for the recovery aspect. But okay, so identification is obviously important, and that's the second phase. Third phase is containment. So what exactly is containment, Ty?
Here the goal is to limit damage and prevent the incident from spreading. This can be done through short-term actions, like isolating affected systems, or long-term strategies, which include applying patches and updates.
Containment is critical to ensuring your incident won't escalate and cause further harm, especially if, in the case of ransomware, if you don't isolate that machine, it's going to continue to spread to other machines on your network. So isolating it from the rest of the thing, that applies to any type of, I know I use ransomware as an example, but it applies to any type of potential threat to your network or your system. You have to isolate it, whether it's an account on your Microsoft account. Say, like, somebody loses control of their Microsoft account. Well, you need to isolate that account. and cut it off from being able to talk to the rest of them, because now you know somebody's in there, you have to contain that account. So it doesn't
get any more. That makes sense. Yep. And then the fourth phase is eradication. So Ty, what exactly involves eradication?
Well, I mean, as the name implies, it's getting rid of it, finding the root cause of the incident, and removing all traces of the threat from your system.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is another phase where you need to, when you let anybody do it that just doesn't understand incident response, they're going to go in there like a bull in a china shop, destroy hopefully everything they need to destroy, like deleted malicious code, stopping vulnerabilities that are on the system, just completely prevent the threat from re-entering. But they're also going to sit there and damage things that are needed in future phases if they're not trained and understand what they need to do of documenting, like, the software. Was there a script you just deleted that script wasn't, you know, it needs to be, there's ways to do it. I'm not going to try going the ways to do it.
Right.
But basically, that script needs to be deleted, but there's other ways to contain that script from running. Because maybe that script has a key thing, component that tells us later, hey, it infected this system too. It established a back door. But if you just completely delete that script or it's gone. If you make a copy of it, delete the script, document it in safe manner, that's important. It's all about the documentation. It's one of those things that are really, really important.
And that's the, you know, the importance of bringing cybersecurity experts to come in on incident responses. Okay, so let's move on to the fifth phase, which is recovery. Ty, can you kind of explain to us what the recovery phase consists of?
The recovery phase is about restoring and validating system functionality. This includes bringing effective systems back online and monitoring them closely to ensure they are no longer compromised.
Yeah. You need to examine everything prior to doing any backups. In your containment phase, it's part of the containment is making sure the backups are safe. The backups aren't being touched by whatever is happening. The containment phase, let's go something a little simpler, is like during the containment phase, you have somebody's account taken over. What was that email account used for? What was that account used for? You know, that's all documentation that we're not really concerned during the containment phase of like what everything was used for. But during the recovery phase, we're concerned about that. Because you need to isolate it, contain it, block their login. But if you damage everything in your containment and eradication phase, you're going to hurt your recovery phase. Because now I need to know, and that's what happened with that other company. They damaged everything. Yeah. They trampled over evidence. They destroyed evidence. They hurt the recovery of everything because they had no clue what they were doing. They documented nothing. And during the recovery, they're like, hey, we need this back. Our client information's on here. We really need this. Like, okay, you know, problem solving starts going to place. But I start asking questions and figuring out that they have nothing ready. They have no documentation of anything that happened.
Right. And you had brought up how important the recovery aspect is ingrained with just the identification at the beginning of the incident process, and I think that really just shows the importance of how each one of these phases are extremely important because, you know, as a whole, it gives the best possible solution for the incident. And, you know, I think it's the other aspect that's really important to point out to our listeners is that, you know, this is all having all this information is extremely helpful. You know, in the case that you get investigated by a government entity for, you know, regulation deficiencies, or if you get sued by a business partner or your clients because of this incident. And so I appreciate you, you know, pointing out how critical it really is to have all that data, you know, regarding the incident in order to, you know, do a proper recovery.
Yeah. And from all, thinking from a legal standpoint, absolutely. I didn't even, that's, my brain goes into, you know what, this is what I need to do to recover everything. You're more of a legal side. I didn't even think about how much legal aspect that can go into, because like you said, if say your patients find out, or your customers find out, and they go say, well, they didn't do everything they could have done, they didn't do everything they should have done, so you know, however legal steps that works, well, without that documentation of what you did, you can't say what you did or didn't do.
Right. Well, I mean, here in the state of Texas, you know, we have a specific law that says that, you know, if you are compromised and it compromises 250 or more of your clients' personally identifiable information, then you have to show that, one, you notified your clients, and then two is you did the proper remediation steps for that incident. So to show that you did the proper remediation steps, you know, is what an incident response plan really consists of. So I think that's really important. So, you know, so then the sixth phase is, you know, really the lessons learned. So Ty, what exactly does this phase consist of?
This phase involves analyzing the incident and response to identify what worked well and what didn't. It's about improving your incident response plan and practices based on these insights.
This okay. goes back to documentation. If you have no documentation of what happened, you can't go through lessons learned. And it really goes back to, everything starts from preparation. If your employees don't know how to document what is happening, and they don't understand, like I said, it's your frontline employees that things like this happen to. If they don't understand how they're supposed to document what's going on, you're going to lose so much in everything, to the point that your incident response, yeah, maybe you've recovered your company and you're back up and running, but you're still in a threat. Like, you're still vulnerable to that potential incident happening again, because you didn't take the steps to document everything and the preparation. I always, when I was younger, I was always annoyed by the saying of, if you're not planning, you're planning to fail. It's just so true. I was always annoyed by it as younger, but it is so true. If you don't have a plan, you're planning to fail.
Okay. Great points. So now let's talk about, you know, what are some best practices for incident response for businesses? Hi, go ahead.
Well, first off, you need to ensure your incident response plan is regularly updated and tested. Cyber threats are ever evolving, and so should your response strategies.
Second, you want to foster a culture of cybersecurity awareness through training, however else you need to do it. make sure your organization, your employees are educated on what potential security threats are out there.
And third, use automated tools for monitoring and detection to quickly identify and respond to incidents, to threats.
Fourth, establish clear communication channels and protocols for reporting and managing incidents.
Finally, engage with external experts and stay informed about the latest threats and response techniques.
Okay, so external experts such as us, right, Ty?
Correct.
Hey, you don't know what you don't know. This is what we do. We're in the game. If you have somebody on your team, awesome. Listen to that person. Let that person, you know, guide you through this. Listen to them. If you don't, find somebody that does. I don't care if you find us, although I'd love for you to find us, but find somebody that works with your company that will help guide you through this, because you have to do this.
Yep. Great points, Josh. Okay, well, that concludes our episode for today. So thanks for listening. We hope you found this discussion on incident response informative and helpful.
If you did, please give us a like, thumbs up, or whatever you have to do to let others know you found this content useful.
Check us out at darkboxsecurity.com for more information and resources on cybersecurity.
And don't forget to join our community on Discord at darkboxsecurity.com/discord.
Till next time, stay safe and secure.